This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to Sports Saturday here on the 21st day of November. We'll have Fighting Illini football coming up for you a little less than 1 hour, top of the hour, 10 o'clock with the pregame on WAOX 105.3. The Ox, as Illinois is in Lincoln, Nebraska today to take on the Cornhuskers. Kickoff at 11, pregame at 10 on 105.3. The Ox. Here this morning on Sports Saturday, we will be focusing on the high school basketball season that we hope at some point will happen. Of course, the week started on a positive note as the 16th was the first official day of high school basketball practice across the state. And we saw on that day the Greenville School Board unanimously vote to approve playing high school basketball this winter. And of course, everything started to unravel as the week progressed and ended with the high school sports season officially on pause after the Tier 3 mitigations went into effect. And so that has just thrown everything up in the air and a lot of unknowns at this point in time. So coming up today, we're going to talk with Staunton coach Ty Locks, Greenville coach Todd Cantrell, and also Hillsboro coach Joe Vanza. We're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Litchfield head boys basketball coach Drew Logan. And Drew, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning, guys. Doing good.
Well, this is obviously a strange year in every sense of it, Drew, but this week was an odd one. Just kind of take me through your process. On Monday, you have practice. By Friday, it's all off.
Yeah, we went into the week knowing we were going to be able to start. Obviously, we had some restrictions and guidelines that we had to follow as far as, you know, really no contact. I mean, everything was just conditioning drills and things of that nature up and down the court. And then, you know, as the week kind of progresses and we've talked about it as a team, even during open gyms in October, I mean, we're going to have to adapt to everything because we may go into games with players that are not there, coaches that are not there. And obviously as the week progressed, things did not look good. And then, you know, the plug kind of got pulled on us, I think on Tuesday, and then the IHSA followed up with their guidelines and everything on Thursday.
And Drew, I haven't had a real positive vibe about the basketball season actually getting off the ground really throughout the entirety of this process. But on Monday night, when the Greenville School Board had that vote, all of a sudden I was starting to feel pretty good that, okay, maybe we're going to see some movement, but obviously that all changed. How have you tried to, I guess, ride this emotional roller coaster through this entire process?
Well, from our standpoint, you know, we talk about controlling what you can control, and we can't control this. I mean, this is above us. This is out of our hands. The one reason, and one of the main reasons we stayed as positive as we have in Litchfield is, you know, our athletic director, Mark Elvers, and our superintendent, Dr. Person, now have really been pushing to play. And so we know from a district standpoint that we have the support of the people that are above us that make the decisions for us. So, you know, as a team, we feel pretty positive about it. Now, we can't control what the state does. We can't control what the IHSA does. All we can do is control locally what we can do. And from our standpoint, we know if we're given the green light, we're going to go.
And from your player perspective, that is, yep, it's tough for a high school kid to kind of wrap their mind around that. It's like, yeah, we control what we can control, but we want to play, coach. We want to play.
Right. Oh, and I mean, I've told them, you know, I can't as an athlete, you know, I take myself back, you know, many, many years ago whenever I was in high school, I said, I can't imagine or even wrap my brain around the concept of losing a year. Like, it just doesn't even, I can't even wrap my brain around what that would feel like. And, you know, like I told them, I said, I can't tell you from an athlete standpoint that I know how you feel, but, you know, our message consistently since we started open gyms in October is we just have to adapt, we have to prepare, and we have to be ready when the time comes. And when it comes, we'll be ready.
So what has been the mentality of your kids here as they've been going through some of this work? Upbeat, positive, or could you almost sense that they knew it wasn't going to end like they wanted?
Right. Well, and I think from our kids' standpoint, you know, again, we know that locally we have the support and that we're ready to go. So I think there's been that positive attitude. Our energy in practice this week was great. I mean, the kids were great. The focus was great. I mean, there was no, you know, we're not sitting around, you know, feeling sorry for ourselves that maybe it won't happen. We're trying to prepare that if the day comes we get to play, which, you know, we still feel like there is that possibility, we want to make sure that we're ready.
How has the mask wearing worked into this in terms of got to have them on when you play and all that? Just kind of right. Take us through those steps.
It's, you know, it's obviously different. When we had our first day of open gym, and we started in October, football was allowed to do their stuff. We kind of flip-flopped what we normally do during the summer. And so in October when we started it, you know, the first couple days, it was kind of like the first couple days of school. It was just weird. It was different. And honestly, the only issue that we have is when, you know, when a kid's really exerting himself up and down the court trying to keep the mask over their nose. That's really the biggest issue we've had. The kids have not fought it. You know, we talked about it the very first day. I said, you really only have two options. You put the mask on and you practice, or you take it off and you go home. So how bad do you want to play? Yeah. And the kids really, it's not been an issue. I mean, the kids at school have been great. You know, we worry, you know, I think adults are resisting it more than the kids are. You know, the kids are like, oh, we got to wear a mask. Okay, we're just going to put it on. You know, it's really been, I've been pleasantly surprised from the school year how the kids have handled it. And then from an athletics point, obviously it affects breathing. But to be honest, it really didn't slow us down much this week.
And I know you have said, too, that maybe the biggest issue with the mask is just on-court communication.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a big one. I mean, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, we talked about as a coaching staff. You know, we stress and we struggle with it just in generally getting our kids to communicate. And then when you're trying to communicate to somebody, it's hard to do that when you can't read their lips. And, you know, I guess the positive looking at going forward is if we do play, there's not going to be many people in the gym. So it'll be a little bit easier to communicate maybe than it has been in the past year.
Now, Drew, do you go home at night and practice yelling in your mask so you're game ready?
No, I don't know. You've been to quite a few of my games. I usually don't have a hard time getting my message across. I have that middle school PE voice, so it works out really well. We talked about it in previous years. You know, when we would get our gym packed, I mean, the kids had a hard time. Everything echoes because of the stage, and so the kids had a hard time hearing me. And we were joking about it as a coach. I said, they're just not going to do anything we ask this year. They won't hear anything we say. And honestly, in practice, it's not really been an issue. You know, it's just a matter of figuring out how it's going to work in play. You know, if the kid's mask falls down, how are they going to handle it? You know, are they going to immediately stop play? And you know, I've asked a couple local officials, and they really aren't 100% sure on the guidance that they're going to have for that either.
Talking with Drew Logan, the head boys basketball coach at Litchfield. And final question for you, Drew. You mentioned you got the support of your AD and your superintendent and really the community at large. So as we sit here on November 21st, your gut feeling, are the Purple Panthers playing basketball when the calendar turns to 2021?
I honestly feel when we hit January that we will be playing. I think it will be a limited number of games, but I really feel like there's going to be this push that we're going to be able to play next year. And that's kind of been our mentality, especially as it's progressed lately. That's kind of been our mentality, is to shoot for, you know, next year and hope that we're getting some basketball in January and February.
Sure sounds good to me. Drew Logan, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and I sure hope to see you in Simmons come January.
Yep, thank you, guys.
All right, that is Drew Logan, the head boys basketball coach at Litchfield High School, and you heard Coach Logan say that they have the support and the backing of their school administration. So from a Litchfield perspective, they are in a unified position. And, David, I don't think that's necessarily the case, and certainly in every district, but it certainly helps if everybody's on the same page going in the same direction, and Litchfield is doing just that.
Right, and I'm sure most of the coaches, if not all the coaches, want to play, and players want to play and everything. Sometimes you just can't, I mean, you can't tell what the administration is going to believe. And as we talked about last week, you really don't know what the thoughts and feelings are of the school boards either, because that's just really a wild card. But to know, at least from Litchfield's perspective, for the coaches and the players and the administrators and the school board, for that matter, as well, for them to all be on the same page, that is an excellent thing heading into January or whenever we have some sort of season.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will talk with Hillsboro head coach Joe Vanzo and Greenville head coach Todd Cantrell when Sports Saturday rolls on.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Back here on Sports Saturday, going to talk with Joe Vanzo in just a moment. Do have some news here. There will be no Turkey Bowl in 2020. The annual Thanksgiving Day battle between the Wilsonville Whiz Kids and the Sawyerville Spartans canceled this year, just the third time in its history it has been canceled. The game started back in 1966, canceled for the Vietnam War in 68 and 69. And evidently, this is coming from Randy Prangy, who took a phone call earlier today. The origin of this game is over a girl, because why wouldn't it be? I guess a gentleman from Wilsonville liked a young lady in Sawyerville. He wanted to go after her. Somebody in Sawyerville liked the same girl. And so instead of challenging him to a duel, they said, we'll settle it on the football field. And the rest, as they say, is history. So the Turkey Bowl, one of the great Thanksgiving Day traditions in Macoupin County, not going to happen in 2020, but we look forward to its return in 2021. And we hope basketball will be returning early in 2021. And happy to be joined on the phone right now by Hillsboro Head Boys basketball coach Joe Vanzo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you guys doing today?
Oh, we're doing okay. And I mean, kind of everybody's in the same boat here, Joe. We're just kind of waiting and hoping for positive developments on the basketball front. And what a wild week it was. Toppers practiced on Monday. We know what happened after that. Just take us through the Topper week and kind of just how it all unfolded from your perspective.
We started to practice as normal on Monday. And we learned later in the week that Thursday was going to be our last day for a while. And I mean, we had four really great days of practice. The kids really enjoyed being around each other and being in the gym again. And it was hard to say, you know, to say bye. Like, you know, there's going to be a hiatus here where we don't get to play and we don't know how long it's going to last, but, we're all optimistic and, we're looking forward to, hopefully better news, and 2021.
You know, Joe, normally players don't get that jazzed up about practice as a whole, but I would imagine that between this summer and this year with everything going on, they were more than happy to get to practice.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a different energy in the gym. There usually is anyway when you first get started, those first few days in November, but I mean, the kids were excited. We've got a lot of returning pieces from last year, and I'm sure that helped with that. But, yeah, and coaches love practice anyway. I mean, I always say that practices are for coaches and games are for the kids. Mm-hmm. So our coaches were excited as well.
You mentioned a lot of returning talent coming back, and the group that is now juniors, led by Drake Vogel and Gavin Matus. They're kind of, you know, they're that crew. They've been talked about a long time in Hillsboro coming up. So as you kind of look at that group, it's just so sad for the kids because Drew Logan alluded to it. You think about a lot of things as a coach. You never think about losing an entire season.
It's something that's never crossed my mind, that's for sure. I feel so bad for spring athletes just from last year, just losing an entire season like that. And never did I think it was possible, you know, for that to happen again here next year. You know, for this school year, but yeah, it's hard to think about, but I try not to let my mind go there and just staying optimistic. And yes, you know, I believe that there's a very good chance that we're going to get to play. And I just try to stay with those thoughts.
The mental approach in sports is always important no matter what's going on. But in a situation like this, talk about the mental approach, because you've got so many different things to worry about. Yes, you've got the mask, but then you've got all the different sanitizing and different protocols you have to go through. And do you get the feeling that your kids are able to kind of block some of that stuff out and just kind of go and play, or is it just it's always right there at the forefront?
I think it's amazing how resilient kids are today. You know, it's one of those things where going back to school in the fall, you know, it was something I always talked about. We're going to have to wear masks. We're going to have to wear masks. And the kids wear their masks. You know, they don't complain about it. You know, they wear them correctly, and it's no longer an issue. So, you know, those were some things that I thought about going into the season or, you know, the preseason, but it really hasn't been an issue. Our kids have adapted, and they're very resilient. You have an expectation. This is the way that we have to do things, and it hasn't been a problem, you know, since then.
Where does the Hillsborough administration stand, as far as you can tell, in terms of their enthusiasm to play basketball this year?
I think everybody wants to play, and everybody would prefer to play for sure. But I know that things just aren't that simple. So that there's a lot of people that are helping guide those decisions, and you know, I no doubt everybody wants us to have a season. And you know, if it were you know that easy, we'd all you know just be playing right now. But you know, I've just in my own mind, just tried to remain optimistic, and you know, other people are going to make those decisions, and you know, it's something that we can't control. You know, it's a lot like a game of basketball in itself. We, you know, try to teach our kids to not worry about things that we can't control, and this truly is one of them. So, we just have to hope for the best and stay optimistic and lean on each other, and we'll get through this.
I know, Joe, during the summers you always have the Topper Shot Club. That might not be what you actually call it, but that's just what it is. Was that able to go on normal, or was that even disrupted?
Well, whenever, let's see, it was May and June, whenever we could not do anything, we would have, like, weekly workouts where the kids were to complete on their own, and we had a Google document that we all shared together that everybody could see to kind of you know, track what everybody's been doing. Is it as good as it's been in the past? No, but it was still something. And then we were able to have, you know, still some workouts in July and August. It wasn't a normal summer, but we were able to get into the gym, you know, which was good for a number of reasons, just to see each other and see the kids primarily. But, yeah, I mean, it was not a normal summer.
And, Joe, you mentioned all the talent you have coming back, and this might be hard to answer just because of everything that's been so different, but where did you see or have you seen the biggest improvement from your club from last year, hopefully moving into this year?
Team chemistry, and I would say just maturity overall. Our kids are a year older. We went through, we'll just say last season left kind of a bad taste in our mouth. I know it did me. And our kids are hungry to get back out there. And, you know, there's not a basketball coach in America that doesn't spend, you know, April, May, June, July just thinking about, you know, how they can tweak their team and what changes they can make and what, you know, what they can do to, you know, improve their team. And our kids have just, they've really bought into the things that we felt like were minuses for us last year. And it's really an optimistic feeling as far as, you know, the improvements that are going to be there for us. Our kids are excited. They're playing together. They're playing with a different energy. And I think if we get a chance to play, we're going to make some major strides this year.
And Joe, just kind of knowing what you know, will the Toppers be playing hoops come January 2021?
I'm going to say yes. I heard Coach Logan say the same thing, and that kind of got me a little excited.
me
you know,
too.
Hearing somebody else say that. So I won't allow my mind to think we're not going to play. Mm-hmm. And obviously a lot of things can happen, you know, over the course of 6 weeks. So it will be, you know, something modified. You know, I've heard, you know, a conference schedule being kicked around, playing each team home and away, which I think would be really awesome. I think that's probably a best case, but, you know, I'm going to say that we're going to be playing basketball.
I like it. Joe Vanzo, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving, guys.
You too. Joe Vanzo with the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll catch up with Greenville head coach Todd Cantrell when Sports Saturday continues.
Hi, this is Melissa Van Giesen, the supervisor and athletic trainer of Teamwork Rehab at Hillsboro Area Hospital. To us, the teamwork is everything. Our team is diverse in skill and knowledge. Having multiple therapists with different specialties allows us to offer a complete spectrum of care to our patients. Working together helps keep all our patients on track, whether you need help courtside or in one of our clinics. Teamwork Rehab's commitment to the community adds up to quality health care.
For generations, high school sports has brought local communities together. During these unprecedented times, WSMI wants to recognize the businesses that make high school sports on the Tally broadcasting stations possible. Thank you to Gibble Home Services, your Linux dealer in Carthenville. Hicks Maytag in Gillespie with Whirlpool, Maytag, Amana, and KitchenAid appliances, always free delivery. And by your country financial agent, Steve O'Dell, on the square in Verdon.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins, and Fighting Illini football coming up top of the hour on 105.3 The Ox, as Illinois will be on the road at Nebraska. 10 o'clock pregame, 11 o'clock kick on 105.3 The Ox. And historically, it has not gone well for Illinois when they travel to Lincoln, Nebraska, just 1-9 all time. First meeting all the way back in 1892. That was a long time ago. It seems like Lovie Smith has been with the Illini for a long time. It's his fifth year now, still looking for his first win against Nebraska, as he is 0-4. So we'll see if Illinois can get their second win of the year today. 11 o'clock kick, 10 o'clock pregame on 105.3 The Ox. Well, of course, earlier this week, the IHSA officially paused all sports across the state, and that came on the heels of Governor Pritzker removing us back to the Tier 3 level, which put all indoor sports across the state on hold. And we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Greenville Comets head coach Todd Cantrell. And Todd, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing good. And Todd, I'm not going to lie, Greenville got me real happy and real optimistic when the school board voted unanimously to approve basketball. I was riding a high, and then I quickly came crashing down. Just take us through what it was like to be in the Greenville program with the news on Monday, followed up by the news by Thursday.
Well, we were all riding high there for a little while, weren't we? It was it was great to see that our school board and our administration kind of put a lot of trust in us as administrators and coaches and players to go ahead and give us the green light. So we were extremely happy. We had some parents kind of take the lead and on that and really talk to some of the board members and just work out, you know, here's the stats and here's what we know, here's what we don't know. And our school board members were on board with it. And we even had some players show up to the meeting. Our senior Fletcher Manhart was able to speak to the board, and they were all very receptive. So it was just a good feeling on Monday. We got a good workout in, we got a good practice in, and then our guys and our girls in our program also went to the school board meeting and kind of made their voice heard. And the school board was responsive, and they listened, and they voted unanimously to give us the green light. So It was a really good way to start the week, no doubt.
The word you used, Todd, I think is the perfect word for this whole situation when it comes to each individual community. Trust. Trust. The school board and the Greenville administration trusted the fact that you and your staff and Colin Dulthaker and his staff were going to do the right things by your kids?
I think that's a big part of it. I really do. And if anybody is resilient ever in school districts, it's coaches and athletes. Coaches and athletes have to deal with adversity, and they have to deal with changes all the time. And I think if anybody can do that and come out on the positive end, it's coaches and athletes. And we've made changes, and the kids have made changes, and we've done the things that our board has asked us to do. We've done the things that our local health department has asked us to do, and our superintendent has asked us to do, and we're happy to do it if that means we get a chance to play. And that's just not in basketball. We want to be able to get out on the courts, on the field, and do as much as possible in the safest way as possible, and that's the key to get these kids out there and performing again.
Terry Tote used to always say, athletics is just another classroom. So, Todd, as an educator, whenever you see high school kids get in front of a school board and talk about something like this, that for you has to be so heartening to see kids take that type of leadership role.
Well, it is, and especially coming as a government teacher also, you want to, you know, we talk about having the kids, you know, speak up and having their voice heard and doing it in a positive way. And I think we had, you know, 16 athletes, 16 boys basketball players were there at the meeting, and there were several girls players there at the meeting also. And they did that. They spoke up, and they did it in a polite, positive way. And I think the school board reacted to that, you know, and there's a time and place for that in a lot of aspects of life. And certainly our kids were able to do that. That's a great life lesson, not just for basketball or baseball or anything else that we might get to play yet this year, but I think it's a great life lesson for just going forward and being adults.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, the other, I guess, side to that life lesson coin would be sometimes life sucks and it's not fair. And that really has been this whole process. It just sucks and it ain't fair, point blank.
Well, that and these kids, unfortunately, the age group of kids that we have now are seeing that in real time. I mean, they've had spring seasons taken away from them last year. They've had prom taken away from them. They've had kids last year had graduation taken away from them. These kids have had school, you know, going to school every day with their friends and seeing everybody on a daily basis. They've had that taken away from them. And still the kids keep coming back. They're still optimistic. They're resilient. And I think that as coaches and administrators and teachers, that's our job, to be leaders and to keep giving them that hope. And everybody hopes that we play. Everybody hopes. We all want to go to school 5 days a week. We all want to go play basketball and football and soccer and everything else. But we want to give them that hope, and we want to see them get all those things that normal kids in a normal year get to experience.
Talking with Todd Cantrell here, the head boys basketball coach at Greenville. And Todd, from a pure basketball perspective, just talk to me about conducting workouts, practices with masks, and all the different protocols that you have to follow.
Yeah, we've done a lot of different things. I mean, our kids have been great. We just determined, hey, we're going to wear them, and we basically talked about it the first night for about 10 minutes, and I said, I do not want to be the mask cop. I don't want to be that guy, so just wear it and get over it. And certainly our guys have. When we first started with the masks, we took a break every probably 15 minutes, and everybody went outside and was able to take them off a little bit. And what you saw, though, was the kids just getting used to it. And the kids just, they almost, you know, policed each other for a while. If one would slip down, when, you know, you'd see another guy say, hey, put your mask over your nose or something like that, to where, as coaches, we didn't have to take care of it. So the kids will adapt. The kids will get better at it. We've had good luck with it at school. We've had good luck with it on the practice field. We've done it in the weight room. So, I mean, the kids are used to it. They're going to get used to it probably quicker than adults and be better at it than adults anyway. So they've done great. And we've done other things. We germ-X in. We germ-X out. We stay 6 feet apart when at all possible. The workouts that we've done a lot of 3-on-0 and 4-on-0 and 5-on-0 things, to where you're not, you know, necessarily going against the other guy and sweating all over another guy all the time. So we've done the things that we can to make it safe, as possible, and we just hope to get the chance to continue to do that.
Drew Logan mentioned this, and I hadn't really thought about this, but with the masks and when you're running and playing, obviously it's going to slip down from time to time. Have you been given any instruction what will happen, like, in a game if a kid's mask slides down? Do you know if the game will be stopped or if they just get it up and back in position on the fly? Do you have any guidance or idea how that's going to work?
I do not. I have no idea what will happen with that. I don't know if it's one of those things like, you know, well, I've talked to other coaches. Is it one of the things like when your jersey comes untucked, you're going to get a warning first and then you got to be removed from the game? I have no idea. I don't know if anybody has any idea at this point, what's going to happen. I know our kids have found that the neck gaiters are the ones that kind of come down the most probably. If you get a mask that is actually adjustable and you can tighten it a little bit, then those have stayed up better. So I'm sure, you know, more guidance will come out if and when we get to do this for real. For now, it's basically trial and error. It's experimental, and the kids are figuring that stuff out on their own.
Well, you mentioned you didn't want to be the mask police. I know the officials don't want to be the mask police. They already have to be the uniform police to make sure that all the uniforms are within regulation and all the silly things that go into that. And it's just, I hope it's a problem that we have to deal with. You know what I mean? Like, if we're playing, we will gladly deal with those situations.
We'll deal with anything at this point if we just get to play. We can handle it's not going to be ideal if we can't have fans and we got to, you know, sit on separate rows on the bench and all the things that we've heard that could be coming, with your own water bottles and all that stuff. That's all stuff that we could handle. I mean, we can do that. We could wipe down the ball at the end of the quarter, or we can, have the masks on the officials and coaches and the bench personnel and the kids. We can do all of those things if we just get that chance. And I think that's the biggest thing is, like we talked about trust earlier, just trust that administrators and coaches and players are going to do the right thing to keep it as safe as possible. That's the biggest thing, keep it as safe as we possibly can.
And Todd, on just a bit of a lighter note, I thought it was interesting that they talked about they're going to eliminate the jump ball from the games. I don't know what good that does when you're going to just go play a regular basketball game, how getting rid of the jump ball does anything. I just thought that was kind of humorous and strange.
I thought so too. We get up and guard. I mean, we've been known for that, and we're going to guard somebody. And certainly, if we're 6 feet away from somebody, we're not even close to guarding somebody. So we're going to get up and guard you no matter where we're at on the floor. I'm not sure that, you know, 2 seconds of a jump ball is really going to make a difference. But if they want to do alternate possession on that, flip a coin, we'll do that also. You know, I don't know if you can defer like you can at a football game, but we'll do whatever we need to do to be able to play.
Todd Cantrell, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir, and I sure hope we see the comments on the floor come the new year.
Hey, thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right, that's Todd Cantrell with the Greenville Comets. And, yeah, David, that was one of the oddities on the different regulations that came out. It's like, okay, so we're going to play basketball, but the jump ball is somehow an issue?
Yeah, that was maybe something where somebody overthought an issue.
That's where a suit had a good idea in a boardroom.
Right, yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah. We need your input. Well, I'll give you my 2 cents. Okay, sure. Yeah.
Get rid of the jump ball.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
I think Darren Deneve, we talked to him a few weeks ago, and he said his team, they joked around about socially distanced ball pressure.
that's going to be interesting. Yeah, because I don't know. Are they going to enforce social distancing on the floor? You can't.
No.
But,
no, that obviously that won't happen.
Yeah. Offense will go up drastically this year.
It'll be like the NBA. No defense allowed.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll
be like the NBA All-Star game.
See, I wondered if free throw shooting will go up drastically this year because, hey, you can't have contact in practice right now. You can't really do much practicing right now. Go shoot your free throws. Go find a hoop somewhere and shoot your free throws.
No, that is interesting because you think about, like, from a football perspective, sometimes early in the year, if the contact hasn't quite been there, you see a few more penalties. And it will be interesting to see defensively what transpires earlier in the year, because you're right, the normality is not there.
Yeah. No, it's that's exactly right. I didn't even think about that. There may not be fouls. Kids might be afraid to touch each other. I don't know.
David, I get that, and I've thought about that too. I really don't think that's going to be the case though with the high school kids, because we've heard all three of the coaches we talked to so far today basically say the same thing to that point. The kids are adjusting better than the adults.
Right. Well, then I say again, go shoot your free throws.
Yeah.
Kids, you know, that's one thing that I know drives coaches crazy is missed free throws. So go shoot your free throws right now. I mean,
it's free.
Yeah, exactly. Free points.
They're giving it to you. They can't guard you.
Right.
You got 10 seconds to collect yourself.
Yeah.
And make an uncontested shot.
Yeah. Just go shoot them.
Just shoot them. Got to practice. Practice makes perfect.
Absolutely.
We need to get to one more break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will talk with Staunton head boys basketball coach Ty Locks when Sports Saturday rolls on.
Well, today we've got rain in the forecast, about a 60% chance today with a high of 50 degrees, and then rain likely this evening. The low scheduled or slated to be around 39. We are back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. And hey, earlier this week, Roxana made the decision to leave the South Central Conference a year early. So they will be joining the Cahokia Conference for the upcoming school year. North Mac going to stay in the Sangamo as they had originally planned through next year. So it looks like that will lead the South Central Conference as a 9-team league for just 1 year until North Mac will join. But for every sport except football, it won't really matter. But if they do go on to be a 9-team league for that one football season, then obviously all those teams will have to find a ninth game to play. So that will just be something, a challenge, I guess, another challenge at the South Central potentially could have to deal with here for the next school year if they are, in fact, a 9-team league. That seems like a long way off, though, the upcoming school year, because there is still so much to be hashed out about the remaining of this academic year. And we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by the head boys basketball coach at Staunton, Ty Locks. Good morning, Ty.
Good morning. How you doing?
Hey, doing all right. And I had planned to talk to you yesterday morning because you were going to be in practice at this time today, and unfortunately that all unraveled. And just kind of take us through your week from the Staunton perspective, the high of Monday to the low of Friday.
Yeah, it's just been a roller coaster of emotions. Should have been getting out of practice, you know, talking to you guys, and everything should be going well, and unfortunately it's just things just didn't work out the way that we had hoped. This summer we get started and all of a sudden, we go for one day, and then all of a sudden, we got to lock the gym down, and then they give us 20 contact days this fall. And I mean, we were pretty much ready to play a basketball game after those 20 contact days, you know, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself. And then all of a sudden, you get your two-week dead period, and then we get a couple of days of practice, and everything's going well, and then all of a sudden, they shut it down again. And that's just really frustrating for the kids, you know. I just really feel for them.
The starting and the stopping, and you know, coaches always talk about control, what you can control, those types of things. But, my gosh, from a coaching perspective, you almost have to feel helpless in a way because you're used to being able to just give your kids the direction that is required.
It is. It's been very frustrating because, I mean, last year I got the job kind of late, so I didn't really get a great summer last year. And then all of a sudden you get your plan together, you're getting everything ready for this summer, and you start to get in the gym, and all of a sudden they close it down, so we miss another summer, basically summer basketball. And then lucky enough, we're able to get those 20 contact days, and we're feeling pretty good about how things are going. Think a season's going to happen, and all of a sudden they just shut it down again. It's just been a roller coaster. It's just so unfortunate. And I really think they've just dropped the ball. I mean, mm-hmm. The schools, like I work at the Bethalto School District, but then I'm associated with Staunton. I mean, both of those school districts, I know they can put a plan in place where they can make it safe for these kids to play. I got a sixth grader, and I mean, we're traveling all over other states playing, and they're doing it safely. And I know our schools are capable of doing it much safer than going to these AAU tournaments and these select tournaments. And it's just unfortunate because I know they can do it the right way if they just give it a chance.
And I think that, you know, when the IHSA made their decision 3 weeks ago or whatever it was to go against the state and say, were playing. They made the point of saying in the release, we're looking to our bordering states to see what they're doing, and they're able to do it safely. So then to see them reverse course then and just put everything on pause, it was certainly disheartening. But, Ty, you've seen it firsthand in these other states, how it's getting done.
Yeah, I mean, last weekend we're in Iowa, and up there able to play, and, I mean, everything's went well. We go over and it was like today we got two games over in Missouri, and you go in, you social distance, your kids wear a mask in the building. They only let one or two fans in. They social distance, they wear a mask, you know. As soon as the games are over, immediately exit the building, and, I mean, we've had no problems. I mean, there's been a couple times where our kids have had to quarantine when we've had to shut down practice and things, but, I mean, at least the kids are getting an opportunity. I just feel so bad for these high school kids, especially our seniors. I mean, they've been through the program for 4 years, Frank Goss and Jacob Futrell, and now all of a sudden they have no idea what's going to happen. And the bad thing is we really don't get any guidance. We really don't have any information to give them. I mean, they ask, say, what do you think's going to happen? I have no idea. You know, it's just been, man, it's been frustrating.
And, you know, the seniors now, they're getting doubly posed in a lot of ways because they had their junior year disrupted. Now their senior year is all messed up. And, Ty, you mentioned this being your second year, but really with everything you graduated last year, you essentially have an entire new team coming in, and to not be able to have that normal summer, just extremely frustrating.
Yes, it has been. Had a really good group of freshmen coming in at high hopes for that really needed to be in the gym all summer and really needed to get some game experience. Then we have a bunch of our sophomores back. Caden Sylvester's back in the junior, Matthew Sievers, and then Sam Beth was coming back out. And we have our two. I mean, it was just a very, very important time for our program. And, I mean, we're going to have some up and downs this year. I mean, we didn't have much experience coming back, but, I mean, just taking this experience away from these kids, leading into the future is going to be tough to make that up. But I mean, I know our kids, I mean, they put a lot of work in just themselves this summer once we shut down, and a lot of them had a basketball in their hands, and they were excited and ready to go. And it's just, man, it's just, I mean, there's really, I don't really have words to describe the feel emotions that we've been through.
Talking with Ty Locks, the Staunton boys basketball coach. Ty, I know I heard you allude to over the summer trying to find the balance of, okay, I don't know if there's going to be a season, but I know we get these contact days now. So how did you decide the emphasis of working on skill development versus maybe trying to install the system and different plays you wanted to run for a season that in the summer might not even happen?
Well, the summer plan was, I mean, especially with the lack of experience and everything that we had coming back, I mean, it was going to be all skill work, you know, shooting, ball handling, doing things like that. And then when we got these 20 contact days, we kind of reversed action a little bit, and we were going to make it basically half skill and then half starting to put our system into place because they've never done it, so I knew that was going to take a while. But basically after those 20 days, I mean, we were pretty much, we could have been in a position where we could have actually probably played a game at that point. You know, 20 days is a lot. You don't even get that many practices before. Leading into the season, you usually get about 2 weeks of practice, and then you're most teams into a Thanksgiving tournament. So, I mean, we were ready to go, and then just to get it taken away, you know, it's just frustrating, man.
Yeah, I mean, we're all in the same boat, I think, to where we're just sick of the roller coaster. Like, can we just get a definitive answer one way or the other, and perhaps we'll get it at some point. Do you have a good feeling that you'll be playing hoops come January?
I mean, honestly, I have no idea. You know, I really did have a pretty good feeling. I thought once they gave us those 20 days and I saw how well they went, I mean, the kids did everything that they were asked of. And then all of a sudden, I guess they're supposed to have a meeting, and then the government won't meet with IHSA, and our health department won't meet with IHSA. Then you're just like, I mean, right now for me to say if we're going to have a season or not would just me be guessing because I just don't really feel like we've gotten any guidance at all so far.
Ty Locks, the head coach at Staunton. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and I sure hope to see you in the gym when we hit 2021.
I do too, man. I didn't know I'd say this year, but I'm missing you, Tim.
Well, I appreciate
to see you again, buddy.
Right back at you. That is Ty Locks, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs. And David, you can just, I mean, all the coaches we talked to today, you hear the passion that they have for their kids and the sport in which they coach. But they all have and share the same frustration and really just the same wanting for their kids to have the opportunity to compete.
No, that's exactly right. And hopefully, again, hopefully we'll have some sort of decision or guidance or clearance to move forward come January. But we still just don't know. I mean, don't know what's going to happen.
We don't. And you heard Ty allude to it. And by the way, his boy who's in sixth grade is quite good. And those sixth graders, when they get to high school, they're going to be a load. Just throwing that out here on November 21st, 2020, that team's going to be real good when they get to high school. But I digress. He has seen firsthand in these other states how it's being done.
Yeah.
And you heard him say, they haven't had issues. You've got the social distancing. You've got an empty gym for the most part. And, you know, that's what's happening in Iowa. That's what's happening in Missouri. Probably what's happening in Indiana. So that is where the major frustration here in our state comes from. No matter which direction you look, you see people figuring out ways to get it done. And the IHSA, they made that point when they went against the state 3 weeks ago. We're looking at surrounding states and seeing what they're doing. I guess they changed their mind on that.
Yeah, it was a week ago today that we said, you know, excuse me, I said, I don't want to speak for you, but I said I figured they would probably take the same, if they didn't have representatives from the state or the IDPH at the meeting on Thursday, that they would probably take the same approach and just let the schools decide for themselves. Obviously, I was wrong. I don't know. I would imagine it probably takes a lot to cancel basketball in Indiana, by the way.
That's probably true.
I'm sure
an act of God probably wouldn't even do it.
Yeah. The incoming apocalypse could happen and they're still playing high school basketball.
That's right. We got time. We can sneak it in.
It's just four quarters. Yeah. Just give me an hour. Yeah.
That's right. The Locusts won't be here till at least six. We got time.
Oh, they can wait around. Yeah. But yeah, you could hear, obviously I'm sure everybody's frustrated with what's going on. But you could really hear it in Ty's voice that he just, you know, everybody wants to play. He really wants to play.
And it's just, it's the back and the forth, you know. Yeah. First you think, okay, there's not really a chance. Then, well, maybe there's sort of a chance. Then all of a sudden, boy, it looks like it might actually happen. And then the rug gets pulled out.
Yeah. Well, I think it kind of started with football. You know, football was canceled, I don't want to say early. It was canceled when it was canceled. And then other states had football, and it seemed to go pretty well. So the tone was, well, maybe we can approach things a little bit differently in the basketball season, and then we're pretty much right back where we were before the football season started.
Well, and it's going to be, if basketball starts in January, which we hope that it does, of course, it is going to be a short, short season. Because remember, the spring season starts in late February, which is football practice.
Okay, so then they're not even going to have the postseason in March then, probably.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and quite frankly, there's not going to be postseason.
Okay.
I would be, and that's not official. That's just kind of.
Well, have some.
As I look at it, maybe they'll have regionals like they did, you know, for the fall sports.
I was going to say it'd be pretty neat to have some conference tournaments. You know, just set up some
I've
conference
always
tournaments.
Wanted to see a South Central Conference basketball tournament.
Sure.
Somewhere in there's got to be a way to get that conference tournament. I think that would just be a dynamite week of hoops. Yeah.
And make it bracketed double elimination. You know, have a consolation bracket and everything, just so you can keep, because you're not going to get probably that many games this year anyway. So just do what you can to play as many games as possible.
Yeah, and I would love to see that tournament moving forward.
Oh, yeah.
Just become a normal staple of the South Central basketball season.
Well, aren't you only allowed a certain number of tournaments in season?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's logistics, David. They always get in the way.
It's true.
Stupid rules and regulations always bringing me down.
Yeah.
Hey, Fighting Illini football, speaking of bringing you down, 10 o'clock this morning on 105.3. The Ducks are 1-9 all time in Lincoln, David. They getting the win today?
I don't know. They're riding a high. They won last week.
Right. Are they getting the win today? Don't sit on the fence.
The Nebraska program is in shambles.
They are in shambles. Boom! There it is. Illini going to win today. Coming up top of the hour on 105.3 The Ox. Thanks to Drew Logan, Joe Vanzo, Todd Cantrell, Ty Locks for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville.